Okay, so today we've got Adam Mintz, a longtime friend and the CEO and founder of his own clothing apparel company, and that is Athletes Collective. Adam, you know, why don't you introduce yourself and do yourself a little bit better justice than I just did?
No problem. So my name's Adam Mintz, and I am the founder CEO of Athletes Collective. We are a men's only sportswear company, and we focus on unbranded sportswear for guys. That's kind of what we're all about. We believe that you don't need a logo to be good at sports, or to make you better at sports, and that's kind of what we're all about. And we also think that you shouldn't have to pay upwards of 50-60 bucks for a technical t-shirt, and that's a big part of what we are. So we've got great quality for price, and you won't see our logo anywhere but on our promotional material. So started about 2.5 years ago with a buddy of mine who's no longer affiliated with the company, and then since October of last year it became my full-time job. Quit my job in advertising and now building the line full-time, and that's what this is all about.
Nice. What sport have you found that you've been successful the most with?
We've actually been very popular with runners, because we like to think I like to call them kind of egoless athletes, guys who don't really care what logo's across their chest. So our concept really resonated with them. And considering how expensive running gear can be, our stuff was priced so well and the quality was so good that they're able to pick up, you know, three shirts for the price of one that they'd normally buy from the big brands. So we don't discriminate any sport. So if you're, you know, an ultimate Frisbee player, we've got a lot of those who wear our stuff, or a serious basketball. Men only, because the female market's very oversaturated, actually, and there's so many different options. There aren't a lot of companies that focus specifically on men's activewear. I'm also the lead designer, and I understand, and you know, they kind of say do what you know, and I know men's sportswear, I know how everything's supposed to fit, and I don't like to think that I would know how a t-shirt's supposed to fit a woman. I'm not a female designer, and quite frankly, the concept itself of making, you know, this started off with us making an unbranded t-shirt. And every guy, no matter what sports they're playing, they need that basic tee. And it's simple. Guys in general are just in what they wear to play sports in are much more – it's a much more simple pattern. They wear a long sleeve, short sleeve, sleeveless, a pair of shorts. You know, you ask every guy, they're all going to want to wear a t-shirt. So you can kind of make that perfect tee for every guy, that basic that every guy needs, that's an athletic fit. But when it comes to women, it's much more difficult to create that one t-shirt that every woman will agree with. They all need that one kind of tee, you know, and that's just, it's just the reality. I mean, I've done my research. I've talked to a lot of female athletes.
Well, you have one female athlete.
I know. I've asked 100 different female athletes what they wear, and no two gave me the same answer. And so it's just a little bit – there's so much more variety for women, and there's so many more variables when you're designing for women that it's not something I want to go into quickly. If I do it, it's going to be very slowly, and I'm going to do a lot of research. It took me 8 months to develop our signature t-shirt that we call the Fokerson, and that's how long it took me to design that one t-shirt. So you can imagine how long it would take me to design something for women that I can't even test out myself. So I'd be relying on other people with
the
t-shirt.
Sorry, I just had a mental image of you trying.
Yeah. So, but that's, I mean, I'm my own guinea pig for everything that I do. I test everything. I play sports and everything I do before I go to market, and I test it on a lot of different guys. So, you know, I really wanted to stick with guys' apparel because I knew I could do a good job with that. And like I said, there aren't a lot of options for guys for really good sportswear, unless you go to the big brands, Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, Asics, New Balance. You know, there are so many offshoot brands, yoga brands that are coming up in the female market. It's oversaturated. So I really wanted to give guys that alternative to wearing brands. There's just not a lot of good alternatives. So that's why I really wanted to stick to what I knew and do a good job at it.
Yeah, the one thing you gotta love about females is we definitely do have our variety, right? So nobody can fault you for saying you wouldn't know what would fit a woman or a woman, because I would tend to say that most women don't know what should fit a woman or how things would fit. But as you mentioned, one thing is that, you know, there's different categories in women's clothing. Like if you're doing yoga, there's a specific type of athletic wear that you're supposed to or expected or in some cases obliged to wear for that activity, and different types of clothing for running versus swimming versus female clothing is just like that. So perhaps maybe one avenue you could go is if you could get the basic tee that would lend itself to all of those activities, a lot of women might be really happy with that, because you don't want a whole wardrobe of yoga clothes if you're not always only into yoga.
Right.
So that might be one. But yeah, women have more curves. They have more variety. Women go through pregnancy and back again. You know, a woman's body changes from year to year, measurably more than a man's body, right? You finish puberty, you go through your early 20s. By the time you have your kids and you settle into a nice beer gut, you're pretty much set and the same clothes can fit you for the rest of your life as a man. And women just don't usually have that kind of relaxed approach.
No, but that's what it is. It's I mean, there's that. The other part of it is from a business standpoint. I, being a startup, I only have so much money to buy inventory, and there are minimums that I need to buy in order to do this. So,
do you mind sharing your inventory that you showed me before?
Do you want me to? What do you mean sharing?
Right next to you. You showed me.
Oh, if you're doing video, yeah. So this is literally my office. It's where I keep a lot of the inventory. This is our long sleeve shirts, and I have an entire other bedroom filled with apparel. So, I mean, when you're doing, you know, you need to do 400 pieces minimum at the manufacturing that we do, because we manufacture our stuff in Canada. So there are minimums. And what a lot of companies, especially fashion companies, I find, I've read so many horror stories and heard personally from people who have failed in their clothing businesses, that they do both genders and they create every single pattern style for men and women. And then inevitably they can't sell them. So it's a much riskier endeavor for me to go in to women's and do everything I need to do for them, carry all that kind of inventory, and it's a much bigger risk than doing what I did. I mean, even the styles that the first, you know, 5-6 t-shirts that we did that were all in the same style were, there was no contrasting stitching. It was as basic as it gets. We just kind of took all the seams and vents out of everything, and we made that, if you want to call it like American Apparel for sportswear, if they ever had technical fabric, very similar to that. So there weren't a lot of, you know, very crazy, wild designs. I mean, the latest design that we have is a contrasting stitching black on gray. And that's kind of the wildest thing we've done so far. And so we took such an approach to make sure that everything we bought, we would actually sell. And that's been happening. I think there was one color that really didn't sell well, but the rest have been really good. Because
what was the color, Adam?
It was a heather green that didn't come out as well as I would have liked, but the rest we're selling. So and it's different. I mean, we're soon going to get into V-necks, and we'll have patterns that are a little bit more interesting, a little bit more technical. But
what
that's
did you have to do with the shirts.
Excuse me?
The extra heather green that you couldn't sell. What did you?
They're sitting there now. We might put them on sale eventually, but right now we're still early. I don't want to blow anything out until I have to. So, but yeah, to get back to what we were saying about the male female thing, it's really just about just doing what I know and know that I can if I like it as an athlete, because I'm so particular with how all of my clothes fit me, from the most basic t-shirt to a pair of socks. You know, it literally, if it doesn't fit well, I won't wear it. And so it took so long to do it. So we kind of perfected what we were going to do. And everyone seems to be really happy with the pattern we created.
Well, we have a history together and we know each other pretty well. But I know that this is the first time you and Ilya are talking. So maybe, Ilya, you could introduce yourself a little bit to Adam. And
Yeah, I'm a competitive and professional rope skipper. So I started 20 years ago competing in rope skipping because it was more financially available to my parents than gymnastics. And when I got to be about 15, I did my first circus show, started working for a circus, toured around a bit, did some circus things. And so now I'm sort of like straddling the two worlds. So in 2015, almost exactly a year ago, Kate and I, we represented Team Canada at the World Championships, and we won the first ever world title in our sport for the female division.
And the sport itself is a decent size as women, but there's how many would you say are boys or men?
Unfortunately, in Canada, we don't pull much of a male
It's contribution. Mainly in the U.S.?
The ones that we're as far as male jumpers in Canada, it's definitely quality more than quantity. We have very few of them, but the ones we have are solid. In the States, there's a lot of male jumpers. The ratio is just completely skewed compared to what we have here. Really, really strong foundation of male jumpers down there.
Is there an age limit to the clothing line that you have, Adam?
It really starts, 16-year-olds probably would be the youngest. We don't make kids clothing.
Okay.
So everything we make is for adults. Okay, so that's
that,
the,
limit you a little bit too, because the sport is, right now kind of a hobby sport. So
yeah,
a lot of kids up to like high school age. So
do you do like socks, underpants,
That's kind of the next phase. I plan on introducing a line of compression gear in about 3 months from now. So that'll get us into underwear, and it'll get me into three-quarter compression pants and full-length compression pants. So that's kind of the next thing. But it's very slow. Like I said, it took a while just to introduce one item. Now we're doing more shorts. We're introducing two new pairs of shorts in about 4 weeks from now, and the V-neck t-shirts, and then in the winter I'll probably have two or three pieces. So it's not many styles, because it really does require a lot of capital to develop a line seriously. That's kind of the next phase of the business, really.
Well, let us know when you do move forward with that.
Sure.
So what about outerwear? Have you
Not yet. Like I said, it's very seasonal right now. The next outerwear we'll be doing will be the first winter thing I'll do will be a quarter zip long sleeve for the winter time, and that's it. It's just I can't stress it enough. It just requires way more capital than I actually have to build out the line, and that's the next phase, is to do jackets and all that kind of stuff. But really, I'm just focused on guys who play sports, who run, work out.
What have you been doing sport-wise?
I play a ton of tennis. I play like tennis three days a week, softball one day a week sometimes. It's been a while. And then in the winter, I play basketball. I work out 3 days a week, and that's it. I'm pretty active, so it all depends on the time of year.
You never played hockey? I thought that you played that with Brandon. And
yeah, I played as a kid, but like shinny, basically.
Oh, okay.
Picked up hockey, nothing really serious. It was always my worst sport. We weren't a hockey family, so we were a ski family. So if you're a ski family and your parents like take you skiing every weekend, they don't wake up at 6 a.m. and take you to hockey practice. So I'm an okay skater, like compared to anyone who's ever. I never played in any leagues, so it makes me kind of a crappy hockey player.
Have you seen any of the videos on the jumping as a sport?
You showed me a few of them. Yeah.
Other than that, though, have you looked into it or no?
Not too much. I mean, it's we don't get very sports specific. I mean, the next thing we're doing is, we talked to, I know Ultimate Frisbee is a pretty popular rec sport, and kind of things that have more players in it we do rather than individual sports. I mean, running's pretty individual, so I guess
jumping doesn't need to be individual. There's fusion, which is, that's the choreographed dancing, right? Type of jumping.
Yeah, it's kind of like in Double Dutch. It's an Asian flavor of our.
Right.
Sport.
Okay. I mean, for us, it's
hip hop kind of.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a hip hop.
I mean, for us, it's like if you're active and you're looking for some very high quality, low cost gear, and you don't want to have any logos anywhere, like we're that alternative that doesn't exist anywhere. If you like, you can buy yourself an American Apparel shirt, but that's not going to wick away sweat, and it's not going to fit that well, and it's not for you know, athletic endeavors. So not everybody wants, if you're on a team or you're a bunch of guys that just that don't want to all buy very expensive shirts and you want to look uniform, you can do that with our stuff. So it's that, you know, we get a lot of guys. Guys are very much like this. It's really funny. We get a lot of guys that buy like three or four of the same color shirt. You know, like they don't care. They're just like, great, this is my uniform from now on when I play sports. Good, I don't have to think. So not everyone's into style. You know, I actually come from a bit of a fashion background, so we're hopefully going to make it a little bit more stylish. But the basics are really resonating with our target audience. So,
right. So, what if you are forming, like you said, like a frisbee team and a frisbee league, or you're a beer league baseball, and you want to have your team uniform, and you're out in the sun, you want something sweat wicking. And you don't want, you want your team's name, right? You don't want
the custom logo. Printing. Yeah.
Yeah, you do the sublimation or just screen?
We don't sublimation. Yeah, we do screen printing. Okay. So we work with a really good printer. Not everyone prints on fabric like ours, so they're really good.
Do you have an example that you can show us?
Right on me, I do not. It's in a box packed away somewhere.
But you can send pictures that we can post.
Yeah, definitely. Right,
which is probably more accurate representation anyways.
No, I can definitely do that. We just did one for, you know, Winwell Hockey?
No, I don't.
Them. It's a hockey
player. I'm the other Canadian that doesn't follow hockey or play hockey. No. I mean, okay, so we all did the puck with the little balls in the street as kids. We've all done mini sticks and the indoor ball hockey in a church gym. But I just don't do hockey.
It's fine. By the way, it's not a very well-known hockey brand. It's not like one of the offshoot brands. It's been around a while, but so we just did
a
bunch
of stuff. I don't know a single hockey. No, CCM. That's one.
There
right?
you go. So, oh, yeah, okay. It's fine. But I'm also like, I know I was a brand consultant at one point, so I was very into this. This is a big part of my job, my life. So brands were just, it's just funny. I'm an unbranded brand. So it's kind of funny in that sense. But yeah, no, I can definitely show you. Like we had a personal trainer, a friend of mine who's also a chiropractor, and he got a bunch of stuff for his junior hockey team that he trains. And so I can definitely show you. But yeah, we do that. Absolutely. And the other cool thing is for Americans, it's really good because they don't get charged tax and they get to pay in American dollars.
Which Why don't is they very get charged nice. Tax?
Because when you go, the only thing you pay for is the gear, really. Because when you go down to the States, you don't get charged Canadian taxes. You don't have to pay for that. It doesn't work that way. So,
do you have a lot of Americans buying your clothing
line? A lot. I have more Americans buying than Canadians because of the podcast that I sponsor. They are all very American centric. So, I have more American clients than I do Canadian clients right now.
Do you have any questions for Ilya about the sport or?
How often do you compete in this now? And is this what you do for a living? Is this, are you making a living off of it? I'm curious. You said, you mean sounds
no,
like,
no, I don't know. Well, not anymore. At one point I had, but at this point I actually was just in a law program. So I just graduated with honors. So I wasn't able to take, you have to travel and take long-term contracts basically to actually sustain yourself off of this sport. You're looking at fitness stuff and probably also performance, and you have to be running around the world doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm actually married, so I stay in one spot, and it more or less supplements our income, which is great. It's how we get projects done around our home.
Right.
But it's not a full-time career for me anymore.
No, I mean, you went to law school, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now you're going to have – okay, so you have like a real professional career. So it's a
not yet. I'm studying for my 7-hour licensing exam at Osgoode Hall, and I write it in August, and then we'll see if anybody wants to hire me. I've been having interviews, but it's kind of weird when you sit down in an interview and there's a lawyer looking at you like, I watch videos of you on the internet all morning, and I'm thinking – is this guy going to take me seriously now? Or
you should share with Adam some of the stories that you told us on the podcast. I think he'll appreciate them.
Oh, yeah. It's as you know, it's not a really well-known sport. I mean, it's not hockey.
Right.
And to just going across, because I live right at the falls there, right? I'll hop over to the States for gas and groceries. And one time I got stopped by the border guy, and they always check your trunk when you go over. And I totally forgot my bag of all my ropes. And we use like a wire cable rope for speed, because it cuts the air quicker.
Okay.
And so he comes up to my window and is like, "You want to tell me about all the ropes and tape in your trunk?" And I was like, "Oh man, my car is going to get pulled apart." But I was like, "Google me. Google me. I swear I'm a competitive rope skipper, and there's a legitimate reason for me to have ropes and tape in my trunk. Like, I'm not going to go harm anyone in the United States, I promise."
That's really funny.
Yeah, there is some weird stigmas. One thing we should talk about is last week we actually had a doctor of kinesiology on our podcast, and she was talking about how there are some like unique needs in our sport. Obviously, there's a lot of jumping, so we're looking for a high impact clothing. So a lot of times we're looking similarly to basketball attire and footwear, because we're moving laterally. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of vertical impact as well. And she was talking about an issue that pertains only to females at this point, which is female incontinence from impact. And it's not unique to our sport. There's also obviously gymnasts. And I've also learned that mothers, like women who are getting back into fitness after having children, have some of the same issues. So I think there is a market out there for anything that can help or aid with female incontinence in sports. So if you ever reach into that market, that maybe that's the first place that you go, because as of right now, there is not a single apparel item to address that issue.
Right.
So maybe. You can do it, man.
That's a whole bunch of research I'd have to do and a lot of work. I mean, it's...
How do you select your fabrics? Like, tell me about that process.
The fabric selection is I have a fabric supplier who I work with, and I get samples. I test them out. I create a shirt, and then I test it. That's basically how the fabrics work. I mean, they have hundreds and hundreds of fabrics. I show them generally when I had like
a fabric. Who do you test it with?
Who?
Yeah, like, do you
me.
Have...
It's I test
you.
It.
It's just
I
you.
Test it. I don't need anyone, to be honest, in terms of testing a fabric, me, and if I'm really not sure about it, I'll send it to a friend. Like I made compression sleeves recently. I did a few samples and I gave it to a friend who actually wears them, because I don't. And he was the one that said, you know, it's not tight enough. It's not thick enough. So like when I have a product I'm not 100% sure about, I'll get other people to test it. But generally if it's just a t-shirt or anything else that I'm doing, or a new fabric, I'm the one that tests it. And I give it to a few other people to see what they think, generally. The shorts that I did recently, which have been selling really well, I tested and I gave it to a whole bunch of different people of different body types, and then they told me what they thought. So, you know, and it's just a bunch of testing. It's like me and my friends, really. You know, there's not much else that has to go through it. You just need to actually play sports in it.
So. That's too bad. I was totally picturing you like in your new shirt that you made, just like squeeging your armpits down into like a carafe with the measurements on it. Like, oh, this one wicked away.
No, the last one. I'll play an hour of tennis or I'll work out for an hour. And that's all I need to know.
Or like the shirt on a cheese grater, like. No. Trying to see how it like stands up to the.
That would look really good in like a piece of marketing material, but I don't do that. The only other way I've really tested it was I gave a bunch of stuff. So Canadian Running Magazine did a piece on the company, and when they tested out and reviewed it, they said a bunch of stuff that I didn't even, because I'm not a big runner. Like I run a few kilometers here and there just to get warmed up, but they run, you know, for hours on end. They're like, "Oh, this is great. It doesn't chafe." I'm like, "What do you mean?" They're like, "Well, we wear nipple tape and we wear tape on the sides because doing this motion for hours on end will chafe." And I had no idea. And they're like, "Your stuff doesn't chafe." So like, "Oh, good to know." So like, it's good when you get other kinds of athletes to tell you what they like and don't like about your product. And certainly with runners, even our shorts, I had them test it and they said, "You know, you're missing a pocket where you can put your keys in, and you know, a couple credit cards to run in. So I've recently added those to the gear, and that's a new feature which I'm excited to introduce soon. So you know, I'll take little piece of advice that I can just make easy changes with. So, but like even with runners, they're telling me they wanted a lining on the inside of the pants and shorts instead of having underwear, and I'm like, I'm not doing that yet because it's too sports specific. And if I make them, if I make 100 pieces, and I don't sell them, then I'm stuck with inventory. I have to make sure it's going to sell.
Yeah.
Right now, eventually I'll be able to take more chances, but right now I can't get too sports specific.
And what got you into this, though? What got you into the whole field of clothing design?
I worked in fashion for a couple years. I was a sales and marketing manager at Diesel Canada, at the Canadian branch of Diesel. And we, and so I liked fashion. I was into it, and it was the wrong kind of fashion. It was a little bit too much attitude for it. And then
before that, though, was there anything that got you into fashion when you were younger?
No, I don't really think so. I mean, it was, I had an opportunity. I got to be an intern there. It was a cool company. I was more into brands than anything else. And fashion was never a huge thing with me, but sports apparel always was. That was always a big deal. I always cared what the pros were wearing. I always, especially tennis players, I always liked what kit they were wearing and how they put themselves together.
I think
tennis
is
very fashion.
It's very fashion oriented. And
tennis and yoga, that's like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why I thought that you were into hockey too, because I remember you had like all the pads, you had like everything with you, and
yeah,
they were like new, and the, even the stick. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was.
Well, they were new because he wasn't playing hockey.
Yeah, played like floor hockey and things like that. But I was always into. I always cared what the guys were wearing. Like early on, I was a big Andre Agassi fan because he was flashy. I thought he had like an interesting sense of style. He was out there, and you know, I like the idea because I'm a big, like how everything fits is a big deal to me when I play sports. I'm a big proponent of when your gear fits you properly, you will play better. That it's or in your head you might play better when everything fits well. When your stuff doesn't fit properly, it's hard to move the way you want to move. But there's a reason why certain people wear the same shirt over and over and over again, because it's the exact fit that they like. And when you look a certain way and everything fits well, you're going to play better, whatever that is.
It's just, you know, one less thing to think about for me, right? Like I'm doing a backflip, right? I know how much time I need to be in the air, how far up into the air I need to reach, when I need to tuck. I don't want to think about, like, are my pants going to fall down and show the world my bum?
Yeah.
Because that's going to psych me right out, and I might not land that properly, which is super dangerous, right? So that's one less thing that you have to think about. We have an event in our sport that's consecutive triple unders. So you jump up, and the rope makes three rotations around you, and then your feet touch the ground, and the rope makes three rotations, and your feet touch the ground, and the rope makes three rotations. So you just do that until you make a mistake or run out of steam and fall over. And basically, the person who does the most wins. And I remember one national championship having to make a decision because I didn't know at the time, but it was actually my underwear underneath my shorts that was shimmying down with each jump because it's such a high impact. You're jumping half a meter with every jump. So I'm there thinking, like, I've done quite a few of these. If I keep going, I could potentially win this event, but 300 people are going to see my bum. Or do I stop and stay conservative and, you know, get second or third?
Right.
So if I hadn't had that issue, I might have just pushed straight through there. But yeah, I was really distracted and ended up making a mistake before it really came to the clinch time. So
did you reach second or third, or did you fail before that?
Second.
Nice. At least
by two. So, you know, if I had a different pair of underwear, I might have won that.
There's an ad campaign for you.
There you go.
So how did I get into it? So that's the, you know, it just, I've always been an athlete my whole life, And the older I got, the more I care. I mean, it was always, it did never matter. Like whether, if I was playing basketball, I was big into basketball for a long time. And when I would play intramural basketball, even then, like the shorts that I wore, it mattered how they fit and it mattered how the top fit. And it mattered, like I was always, the fit was always a big deal. Like going shopping with me is just a nightmare for anybody because it just takes me so long. Like even for a t-shirt, like it just takes me so long to figure out whether or not it fits the right way.
I'm the complete opposite.
And so it's what I think has made my gear so good. It's what, because I'm so particular that I've taken the time.
And you have the passion that you're putting into it, and it shows.
Yeah. And so like you can do that. There's a lot of, you can go to a lot of the fast fashion places like Zara or H&M or Old Navy, and they sell some form of athletic gear, but it's not very good because they're just trying to make the cheapest stuff possible. They don't care about the fit. They don't really care about the fabric. They're like, it's good enough. It's cheap. People will buy it, and they don't care. So they don't take the time to care if it fits properly. They just like, what's the cheapest stuff? It'll kind of look okay. It's cheap enough that people won't care. So my stuff isn't, my stuff was $10 a shirt. People wouldn't care as much. $25 isn't expensive. Over $25, you still want it to fit really well. So when it does fit as well as my stuff fits, people are shocked and they get very excited because they're like, wow, I just can't believe that a shirt that's this cheap is this good. So
yeah, so that's like 18 USD.
Basically, yeah. USD, right now, yeah, with the exchange.
So yeah, that's pretty good. It's interesting because I think a lot of people now buy athletic wear to wear. It's the sweatpants and the hoodies of our generation. You know, everybody's out in their active wear at the grocery store and at the, when I go to a skipping competition, everybody's mom is in yoga pants and a tank top. And that's, you know, to be a spectator, that's your, you're wearing athletic wear. That's kind of like where things are going. So
yeah, a lot of things are going that they call it athleisure. And so
please.
That's what it's called. It's the, if you type it in, type in that term.
I've never heard that before today.
Yeah. If you type it into Google, it's everywhere. That's what Lululemon is. They kind of pioneered it essentially. And I'm not in that right now. I mean, the V-neck shirt that I created recently that I'll have in about a month from now, that's as close to athleisure as my stuff gets. It's the nicest shirt I've created. You can wear it on the weekends with a pair of shorts if it's hot outside because it does look good. But the rest of my stuff, I say it really is made to play sports in. I'm not trying to – a lot of people try to – they're like, you should get into the athleisure market. You should do fashion. You should do this, da, da, da. So I'm like, no, it's a serious sports brand what I'm trying to do. So, but yeah, to your point, yeah, a lot of people are getting into that athleisure market and they're trying to make athletic wear fashionable. You know, it's not completely new. Nike and Adidas did it a while back, and they have streetwear lines, but the Lululemons of the world are really trying to make athletic gear fashionable that you can wear it when you're not being athletic.
George! Come here. Come here.
Let's see your boxer.
Say hi, George. Say hi. Oh, no kisses right now. Okay, all right.
All right. Well, I think that this is a perfect time. I mean, you're probably exhausted still, Ilya, from the event, and I know that you're not feeling well, Adam.
It's okay. No. This I love this kind of conversation where you're just kind of talking about sports and this stuff. I mean, listen, I can talk about my brand till I'm blue in the face, but I always find the most interesting conversations are just talking about. Because I am interested in how because my background is in brands, I'm always interested in how people look at brands in their everyday life, especially clothing, because you live in it.
Yeah,
you know, you use other brands every so often, but when you live in your clothes and you work out in them, I find it an interesting discussion about how people look at it differently. Some people like to be flashy, some people a little more subdued, but I like the conversation about just how people – what people wear when they work out because it's so different. It varies from person to person so much. You know, even my friends, they wear my gear and I love seeing them in it. It's amazing. But it's like they wouldn't go out – a lot of them are cheap and they won't go out and buy a $50 shirt and they are just – like normally they wear the rattiest t-shirts. Like, why are you guys wearing this? You could be wearing my stuff. It drives me nuts. But they'll wear my stuff because it's really subtle. Like, yeah, they don't wear. They
I think
don't
that
like
is a point you want to drive home. Like, yeah, that being subtle, that is really.
Yeah. Well, can you share? Are you on social media? Is your company on social media?
Yeah, if you so obviously we're on Instagram at Athletes Collective, Facebook, same thing. Our Twitter is ATH Collective, or just search Athletes Collective Twitter. There's not an absolute ton of content on our Twitter feed, but we are going to be introducing a lot more content over the next couple months, starting this week, actually. There's going to be a lot more to follow. But we post more on Facebook than anything else. So if you're a Facebook user, that's probably the best way to follow us and follow the news. Or you can go to our website, athletescollective.com. If you scroll to the bottom, you can sign up for our newsletter. And if you want to check out our gear, go to athletescollective.com. We offer free shipping to the United States and Canada. And remember, to the American viewers, that you essentially get a 30% discount without having to put in a promo code because of the horrible American Canadian exchange rate, which is fantastic for Americans and not so great for Canadians, but great for my customers. So
great. Well, thank you for coming.
Do you have any retail outlets?
We aren't in any retail outlets now, but we do expect to be in a few in about 6 months from now. So we are talking distribution right now. We are an online only retailer, but we do intend to be in a number of retail stores by hopefully late fall of 2016.
Right on.
Thanks
for coming on. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Keep your head up and jump high.
And always remember, jumping is a sport. See you later.